Time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So I tried to find it by asking a question that's probably hard for AI or Google to give you an answer to. I asked, had a team face Mazeroski and Skeens in a three-game span ever? Because that's what the Astros are doing. Mazeroski on Sunday. They had the day off yesterday. They've got whoever. It doesn't matter who the Pirates are throwing today, because really the only game that matters.
Not Skeens.
The only game that matters in this series is tomorrow's game.
Every starting pitcher for the Pirates should just have not Skeens on the back of their jersey.
It's not a real acknowledgement that they're individuals by doing that, but honestly, treat it like they treat, you know, the number 42. Everyone has it on Jackie Robinson Day. For the Pirates, every pitcher, not Skeens. That's just who you are.
Yeah.
That's just who you are.
Some teams, the Yankees, don't have names on the back of their jerseys. Be happy you have anything back there.
Yeah. We're acknowledging you're there. We're also acknowledging you're not this guy.
Sorry, Bubba Chandler.
Yeah. And, you know, Bubba Chandler doesn't have great numbers. It's another reason why the Astros need to get this one.
Come on, Bubba.
He's 1-6 with an ERA over 4.8. This is why you need to get this one. Even though you have your best active pitcher going in Arrighetti tomorrow, I don't want to test fate. You know,
also makes it seem like a playoff game.
Yeah, that you have
two aces.
It is what Arrighetti has been. And if
two guys pitching like aces.
And if Skeens could get better run production, he would have better numbers, at least a win-loss record.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, Pirates, continue to be silent when he's – I want those bats to continue to be silent when he's pitching, at least for another outing. Yeah. So, as you said, sorry, Bubba Chandler.
Who also apparently doesn't get much run support, given that he's 1-6.
No, he's not. I mean, like isn't awful. It's not great, but it isn't awful.
It's not 1-6 bad.
No, it's not 1-6 bad. No, it's not an ERA that suggests he should be 1-6 in 11 starts this year.
Would his ERA be on the Astros?
You mean his word ranks?
Yeah.
As far as starters?
Like his ERA would be one of the better ones, I think.
I mean, Imai is getting ever closer because of his recent performances. So Arrighetti, it has to be still better than Burrows.
Yes, Burrows is 5-4.
Yeah, he would be one of the better starting pitchers ERA-wise with the Astros.
He's his blue ball range, 4-4.
And of course, blue ball isn't really a starter for them.
Yeah, that is true.
So
Lambert, 3-7-7.
With the way the Astros hit particularly early, he would probably be at least 500.
Yeah, he would have a couple wins.
Yeah, he would be. And also, another time, we don't want things to change. You continue to not get support.
Bubba, sorry. One more start.
Yeah, I said run production earlier. Run support for him. And also,
you guys can go on a 10-game win streak.
I don't care.
You know,
you're having a pretty good year. You're above 500.
Yeah.
I don't need that. I don't need you guys to get hot against us. No, we need all the help we can get because the Mariners don't lose anymore. They're now 5 games up on the Astros because they won, I think, a walk-off yesterday. They won again yesterday. So the Mariners don't lose. The Astros have had the day off. We need to get back on track. All of a sudden, we talked about it yesterday. The Mariners are now playing the way people expected them to play. It's just coming at a time where we were feeling pretty good about our own team, and they just happen to be playing better. And Gate, like, you take the day off, you think, hey, you know, the Mariners drop a game here, we can get a half a game. That has happened a couple times recently, and the Mariners have gained ground because they don't stop losing baseball games, or they don't stop winning baseball games. They are on a 7-game winning streak. The Rangers have won 4 in a row, too. So, great.
Yeah.
AOS. Shout out to those teams for getting it together.
AOS, they're like, you don't start trying until Memorial Day, right? No, it's you don't look at the records until Memorial Day. Okay, well, then we won't start trying until Memorial Day. And then, I mean, what, that's three teams all on the upswing in the worst division in baseball? I mean, the Astros, not as up of an upswing. Well,
you know, they dropped. I guess they lost a series to the Brewers, but yeah. Up until that point, they had been playing better. And, you know,
once they stopped playing the Rangers, it really kind of
I mean, the Rangers got away from the Astros and started winning.
Yeah.
And the Astros got away from the Rangers and started, well, losing, just, unfortunately.
Yeah, just not at the same clip. But, yeah, that might be the silver boot might be what we
take with us this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wild card's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, despite the loss of the series against the Brewers,
their wild card's still
they're
under
still 500. Very much in the race for a lot of things, including the AOS, and it'll be Mike Burrows against his former team.
Oh,
what about that
revenge tour
for Mike Burrows? He gets to play his former team, who traded him away.
Yeah,
in a three-teamer,
they shipped your ass.
Yeah,
for I forgot what.
Well, I don't know what the Astros gave him, because I know Melton went to the Rays.
Yeah.
in a three-team trade.
They just want some Rays prospects.
Like in the NBA, a three-team trade generally there's a maybe a better player or two in it. Like Mike Burrows was fine in Pittsburgh. There's a lot going on for Jacob Melton and Mike Burrows to be involved.
They got Brandon Lau.
Yeah.
Solid.
The Lau of the low Lau combination. Yeah. They got the Lau from the Rays. So.
Jake Mangum.
Like, I was just thinking about it. Like, the Kevin Durant trade was like, what, four or five teams when it came down to it at the very end?
It was like seven.
Yeah. They incorporated
just everyone who made a move.
So many different moves into it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't remember a lot of three-team baseball trades.
No, until this offseason. I think the Rays did like another three-team trade or something. I hadn't even really considered the possibility.
It is usually a basketball move because of financial complications that you have to get another team involved.
Imagine the Rams if they could make NFL three-team trades. What kind of nonsense they would be getting up to.
Is there any reason why you can't make a three-team trade in the NFL?
I've just never
it's
seen
It's just
one.
Never been done.
I don't remember.
I'm sure you could if you could get all the parties involved to agree to something.
Let's see AI tell me.
Does AI tell you that three-team trades are
NFL
bad? I don't think that they are. I think you could do that. It's just NFL trades are a little bit more straightforward.
Practically non-existent.
Yeah.
Is what it's saying.
But not impossible. Just not something that gets done.
Yeah. Yeah. And because it's a hard cap, like you always need to be under the cap. So there's not a reason to three-team it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Just no reason to do it. But
There's still time.
The Rams are the team who wants. Are they the team who wants future draft picks further out to be able to trade, or was that another team that came through this offseason where there was a team in the NFL who would like it to go beyond 3 years from the date of trade as far as draft classes?
I forgot you can make
a trade.
Someone proposed that. I forgot.
Yeah, so we may get to a point where they're close to the NBA, even if they're not making three-team trades, where you can throw in pick swaps too. Who cares? Although NFL draft picks, at least currently, more value than NBA first rounders. But if you want to throw in pick swaps to make a deal work, I'm cool.
Yeah,
I love a transaction at this time of the year. When the games are on, I care about the games more than a transaction. But right now, I'm thrilled with Les Snead and what time he's on. Yeah. Anybody else want to do something crazy?
I will say, like, the NBA teeters on, like, the moves being too complicated for, like, the average friend. Like, explaining it to, like, your friend who casually cover or watches the NBA.
Yeah, people have gained a better understanding because of the trade machine.
Yeah.
But for the most part, just explaining them is too much. People stop with the cap and why the first apron matters here.
What the second apron
yeah,
is.
Yeah, why I can't aggregate salaries. Yeah. Stop it. Just tell me who's going where.
Who's on my team.
Yeah, and that's good enough. And I actually do care about that stuff. I'll look it up myself. But back to the baseball. Pirates Astros tonight. This is a series where you can get two out of three, and you just chalk up the Skeens one to. You never know. You got your best pitcher on the mound, and maybe Skeens gives up a home run early to have Livy Dunn cursing, and then we go from there. That's all. You just hope you catch one, and maybe that'll be enough. That's what. Unfortunately, that's what the Brewers got off of Imai. He was good. The rest of the pitchers were good. They just caught one mistake, and that was the end of the game.
I could definitely see it being another 2-0.
Same.
I mean, it's like when I feel like it's happened a couple times when Hunter Brown and Jacob deGrom pitch against each other when the Astros play the Rangers, where it's like, sweet, can kind of just pencil this one in for either a 2-1 or 2-0 game, and it'll probably be done in under 2.5 hours because it just you're just mowing through guys. So, yeah, that it. I mean, we are. This is probably the most we've ever talked about a regular season baseball game that happens.
That doesn't even happen the tomorrow. Day
that there is a baseball game in between.
I was talking about it yesterday, how often you just see a pitcher of Mizorowski's caliber just overwhelm the best hitter in baseball the way he got to Yordan.
He's like Randy Johnson.
Yeah. You know? And then you have another guy come into town who can very well do the same thing. So
he's like Roger Clemens.
That's
it's basically like playing those guys.
This is why I'm asking. I was trying to figure out how often could any team face these two guys in a matter of three games.
They're in the same division.
So I guess it could happen.
Maybe
Cubs
or,
are the Astros the first AL team to have to deal with it?
They have to be. They have. Of course they are.
Yeah.
But they have
to. Why wouldn't they be? Yeah. Considering how things have gone the last couple seasons.
But it'll be. It does put a lot of stakes on the non-Skeens games because it is like you can't even like pencil yourself in for like a coin flip on that one.
No,
it's like even Aaron Geddes pitched awesome, whatever, ERA under 2, like really if he had just made the team from opening day, not in like this is a huge mistake way, but just if he had pitched those innings, like he would be in the Cy Young race like in a serious way. It's just Skeens is Paul Skeens. Like we've just seen it for what, 3 years now? Like going back to even like LSU, you're just like, this guy's so clearly awesome. It's really unbelievable.
And we'll see him.
Thank God they're not in the NL Central. Could you imagine?
Dealing with Mizorowski and Skeens. Tough. You know, it's almost like an anomaly that this is happening. And it's the benefit of being in the AL.
Yeah, like the Mariners have, what, like 3 or 4, like, good starting pitchers to where, you know, in basically any Mariner series, you're like, there's not really an easy out here or an easy, you know,
yeah, George
here.
Kirby kind of owns the Astros, yeah, stuff it's like that. But
Kirby, you know, again.
But you can get the Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby's no Skeens.
Yeah.
Kirby's not Mizorowski.
Yeah, they're realistically.
These are like normal good pitchers.
He's a normal good pitcher that. You feel like, you know, we could get to
him. He's human.
Yeah, Isn't he the same guy who did he cry at one point? Or did he not want to? Oh, he didn't want to continue to pitch. Wasn't he the guy who they tried to pull him from? Or they wanted to stay. They wanted him to stay in, but he didn't want to continue to pitch, and it became a big deal because you got to be a real man to play baseball, stuff like that. Forgot exactly how that played out. He's been fine since. He's recovered. All the potential overreactions to that didn't really matter when it came to George Kirby, but I believe he was the one as a young pitcher who did not want to keep pitching, and people judged him.
Yeah, yeah. 2 years ago, he said he gave up a home run in the seventh, and he said, "I wish I wasn't out there for the seventh."
Yeah, he left them in. They may. I guess he
intimated second pitch
that they left them in too long, and that's what led to it. And people got really upset. He's been fine, unfortunately for the Astros.
I miss Scott Service, dude.
Like he is the reason I dislike the Mariners. Like, I don't like the Mariners from back in the day when I was in LA and Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey and Jay Buhner and all those guys. But this new version of them, you know, what's his name? The Big Dumper had said what he said a couple years ago about how they were going to win the division. And then, of course, they're the Mariners, so they fell apart. That's what they did until last year. But other than that, Rodriguez, whatever. Am I supposed to hate you because you're a good player? No. Orizarena, though, that's a guy you can understand why you might not.
Yeah, it's one where like the nonsense that he does for the most part, pretty harmless. But then it's like you put him in the Mariners uniform and
the Braves before that, what he did to the Astros.
Yeah, it's like if it wasn't coming at my expense, I would like this a little bit.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with Josh Naylor. I don't even care.
No.
They made that acquisition last year, but Scott Service is really
he was like
really the guy.
Yeah, it's like a college basketball team where it's like The players, I don't have that much.
It's the uniform or the coach.
Yeah, it's Coach K.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I don't care that it's these one and done. It's really.
It's even hard for me to work it up for a guy who is his protege and was one of his players, like John Shire, whatever. I mean,
yeah,
I,
like, we need,
deal.
We need Scott
Service.
He's not
a real villain.
Take over like the A's or something.
When they move to Vegas?
Yeah, yeah. I need Scott Service in the division for hate,
yeah.
For hate purposes.
Yeah,
it's like
something.
Patino. I like rooting against him.
It makes it more fun.
Yeah.
Now, I want my team to be good, so you beat them. I don't need Scott Service having joy.
No, God, no.
No, no.
That's why I put him on the A's.
Currently ahead of us.
Yeah, come on.
But that ain't going to last long. I mean, maybe this year, but not after that. That's not a sustainable thing. They're just going to trade Nick Kurtz at some point anyway.
They made a movie about how unsustainable it is.
Yeah, winning 20 games in a row. And look what that got you. A movie where who was the one who was upset that Jonah Hill was playing?
Paul DePodesta. Like,
this guy?
Or no.
No, it was Billy Beane.
Art
Howe was upset.
Mad that Philip Seymour
Hoffman he was like,
played him. Which,
okay. A great actor.
He was one of the great actors of his generation.
But if you're Art Howe, I'm like, that ain't me.
Yeah.
Beane gets
Brad Pitt.
I was a ball player.
Billy Beane got Brad Pitt.
And I got
okay.
Like,
okay.
What, Bruce Willis maybe? Would he have been happy with Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
I just picked another bald dude.
Yeah, no, he would have been, I mean.
He would have been happy,
I can't
right?
imagine he would be like, no, Die Hard sucks.
No, I get it. Art Howe, ball player, manager. And you get Philip Seymour Hoffman, the least likely guy to imagine being either one of those things. And RIP to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Eric, you want to talk Rockets and a movie, another horror movie doing pretty well, horror movies in 2026. The box office loves them. We'll talk about that and the Rockets when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I see Eric wants to talk Rockets. Reminds me to mention Rick Adelman passed away at 79 years old. He was the Rockets coach for 4 seasons. Made the playoffs a couple times. The most memorable, I guess, time from his tenure was the run to the Western Conference semifinals where they pushed the Lakers to a Game 7. That series ended with both Yao and Tracy not available for the Game 7. The Rockets had a really good win in Game 6, and I remember being in this room talking to my producer and friend, Kevin Joseph, during that game. We were excited. Could the Rockets pull it off? And no. The answer is no, they could not pull it off. They were blown out in that game. Just the lack of talent at that point caught up with them. Game 7 in L.A. went the Lakers' way, and that game was over pretty quickly. And that was a high point. Unfortunately, it came with those two stars not being available.
22-game win streak as well.
Yeah, and it was kind of the talking point of that era. The two stars, rarely healthy at the same time. It just short-circuited anything that team wanted to be, and he finished up his last couple of years missing the playoffs. Did finish above 500 both years, but didn't make the playoffs. And eventually he moved on. He coached the Wolves the next couple seasons before his coaching career ended. But Rick Adelman passes away at 79 years old. Of course, coached those Portland teams as well. Had those Sacramento teams who challenged Lakers. The Portland teams made the finals the 1 year playing the Bulls.
Yeah, not many guys are like have good stops or have good tenures, 3 different stops. That is actually like pretty rare to have 3 different fan bases that are all like Rick
Adelman. Feel pretty good about you.
Yeah, Rick Adelman's one of the best coaches they've had in the last however many years.
Yeah, Sacramento hasn't been good really since.
No.
They had the Beam team a couple years ago, but other than that.
No, that's obviously the pinnacle of basically any
modern
Kings fan that's still alive.
Yeah, it is those Chris Webber, Divock. At times, Jason Williams, Mike Bibby, Teens, Peja, all those guys, if not for a certain referee or two, likely make the finals that year.
Defense.
I mean, maybe get a defensive rebound instead of letting Ori get the ball. That could have played a part. But also, game six, the referees in L.A.,
no,
that was tough.
Tough.
That was tough for the Kings.
Tough.
Yeah, so there were some mitigating circumstances that kept that finals, that Kings team from making a finals. But Rick Adelman passes away at 79 years old. And strictly a Western Conference coach. Never coached outside of the West.
Yeah.
All his stops.
Hardest road.
Portland, Golden State, Sacramento, Houston, and Minnesota. He never ventured further east than Minnesota. Or is Houston more east of Minnesota? Either way, you get the point. Never coached in the Eastern Conference. Let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk some Rockets and a horror movie. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, yeah, are there any possible free agents out there that Rockets can sign that can make them a contender next year? Instead of Tillman buying casinos, maybe you should buy some players to bring back a title to Houston. And also, I heard Backrooms is getting a sequel. I'll hang up the listen.
Yeah, it's in the works. I saw Backrooms 2 is potentially in the works. I haven't seen Backrooms 1, so I can't speak to whether it warrants it or not. I'll eventually get to that at some point.
It's good enough for a sequel.
Okay, and they've got several big-time stars as far as big-time actors. I don't know if they're all considered movie stars, because movie stars is different, but you have accomplished actors.
They gave it some gravitas.
Yes, so perhaps it may get a sequel.
You could even do, like, not giving anything away, but you can honestly do, like, anthology, like an anthology series where it's a completely different new, you know, set of people going through back rooms.
Got it. So, as I said, it's a good time for horror movies. Obsession, we know about. Backrooms looks like it's going to do well as well. And there have been, Hokum is another one. I think Eric has mentioned that. I haven't seen it yet. That's another one.
Toxic Avenger.
That's not really a horror movie. It's a horror for me.
Eric's mentioned.
It's a horror for me because he always brings it up. But yes, Toxic Avenger was well reviewed as well. But if you love a horror movie, 2026 is a good time for you.
Yeah.
Whether it's...
Got the Bone Temple back in January.
Yeah, that's another one that did well. And also, Obsession did so well that initially it was supposed to be on digital today. And then they said, nope.
Yeah.
We're going to get the full theatrical window because of how well it's been doing.
I thought about waiting to see, because I saw it this past weekend. And like pretty, you know, not late, but it was going to go to digital tomorrow. And I like thought about, I was like, you know what? I actually do want to see it in theater. And it was like probably like 80% full on a Sunday watching a movie that's been out for 3 weeks. Like it's got the streets love it. The streets love it.
Yeah, word of mouth speaks to what you're talking about when it goes from a great opening weekend, far surpassing its budget,
and then it does
better in the next weekend. So Universal was like, you know what? Yeah, we're gonna get all we can out of it and make it the full 45-day window. So as I said, good times for horror movies. As far as Eric's complaints about Tillman buying Caesars and not using it on players, well, there is a salary cap. Tillman just can't go spend money on players. They are, as we talked about, it gets a little dreary and complicated to talk about the cap and what restrictions they have. But just strictly speaking, there is a cap. The Rockets just can't go purchase players. This isn't soccer.
Yeah.
It's just the constraints of how they built their team. The best moves they're going to be able to make is trying to retain guys or give Tari a deal that he's comfortable with, and maybe you make a trade. That's the way you're going to acquire different players that might have an impact. I don't know where they stand as far as their MLE, non-taxpayer,
they
all those
used
things.
It,
yeah.
Used it last year on Capella and Dorian.
So they're kind of set, Eric, unless they make a trade.
Yeah, they can use they have a different exception they can use, but it's the smallest of them.
Yeah, the smallest of them all. So yeah, you're not. I don't think you're getting a player of any real impact.
No. It's probably like where you're
in free agency.
Like they talk about wanting a shooter. That's probably
even shooters are very expensive now. Just think about what Strus and Duncan Robinson are making.
Oh, no, I mean, you know, just
you're
like...
You're looking at a guy who's a young player.
Not really a playoff guy.
Yeah, right? Not a rotation guy. So, Eric, if you're hoping for improvement, look to trades. Or just the thought of having the most important point guard in the last 20 years back on your roster and active.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet. And Steve Nash. Steve Nash in training.
Yes. At one point, he was Cocaine Curry. Then... he was Mark Price. Then some people said maybe Brent Price. Now he's Steve Nash in training. Reed Sheppard is still
that's
here.
That's a little uptick.
Yeah, up and down, depending on...
Started too high.
Yeah, depending on what game he's in and how he's playing, the comps have changed for one Reed Sheppard. Right now, we're just hoping for playoff guy, because I'm not sure he's that right now.
Yeah, yeah. Can you...
Can you hold up in a playoff series without...
Jared McCain. Be Jared McCain.
Hmm. Jared McCain, bigger and stronger.
Yeah, but can he?
But can you be Jared McCain?
Can he be Jared McCain?
I don't know that he can. Not at the moment. We're hoping, though.
Yeah, because Jared McCain wasn't good on defense. He was so good on offense, it didn't matter.
There are moments where he could kind of sustain an offense when Shea was off the floor with that one, particularly when they didn't have A.J. Mitchell or Jalen Williams. So there's room for an uptick with what Reed Sheppard can be in year three. The question is it good enough for what the Rockets want to be? But look to the breaking news from Shams, Eric, through trade, if you think this Rocket team is going to improve this offseason.
And please feel free to enjoy the beautiful Caesars Palace next time you're in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Is one in Louisiana as well? No, there's a Golden Nugget in Vegas. I forgot because Tillman has the Golden Nugget.
Yeah.
And he's acquiring Caesars. I don't know if there's a Caesars in Louisiana, but either way, the man's in the casino business. Yeah, there is one in New Orleans. So, Eric, closer trip, if you want to partake in a Tillman resort or just slash hotel, there's a Caesars Palace, Caesars New Orleans, excuse me, in New Orleans. You can help out Tillman a little bit.
Maybe they do go into the second apron, you know?
If you make a trip, spend your money on a room and the casino, Eric. It's on you.
It's on you to
contribute.
Are they going to put the Landry's restaurants in?
Kind of question is that? Of course. Actually, I don't know. But why wouldn't he? I don't know what they currently have.
I don't know
in Caesar's
if they'll
Palace.
Do all of them.
Like, they have the Caesar's Shops in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
And they have restaurants, too, like near the fake pool. Not pool. Near the fake fountain where the Caesars of the past talk. Just put a Sawgrass Steakhouse right there. Remove one of the fake Italian restaurants, put in a Sawgrass Steakhouse.
Boom.
Or maybe Tillman gets into the Italian food game in a bigger way, because does he have an Italian food place?
I'll look it up in the restaurant? Break.
Yeah, you do that.
I've definitely
Sean.
Been on the Landry's website before for this show. I forgot what it was, but
it probably wasn't going to be complimentary to Tillman, considering what this show's on. We'll see if Tillman has an Italian place. I don't know that to be the case. But either way, if you want to help out the Rockets, Eric, just continue to spend money at Tillman's establishments. He'll thank you for it by getting you better players. That won't happen. All right, we'll go to break. We got a couple more segments to go. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Let's get into Tom Brady, because he has some thoughts on practice squad players. And just know, while they may not have the type of reach that Tom Brady has, they do have social media accounts. So they responded to Tom Brady, and they weren't happy. We'll get to that when we come back.
It's the Del Alalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Alalea.
Okay, let's hear from Tom Brady, the lead analyst for Fox. Ain't winning Emmys, though. That goes to Greg Olson. One of the greatest tight ends in Miami history. Shout out to Greg Olson.
If she only knew. If she only knew.
Hey, I don't know that he wants us to reference.
I know he definitely doesn't.
Third leg, Greg. But yes.
What's he do? Getting.
Yes. Yes, he did. Part of the seven floor crew is what they were called at the time. Back in Miami. The end of Miami's heyday, I would say, from those early 2000 teams. But he's not that on Fox. He's just a straightforward, well-respected analyst that talks about the game in a way that wins him awards, unlike the guy who's on the number one team, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's also talking about practice squad players. He sat down for an interview, and he explained at least from his time in the game, why some of these guys don't take what they do in practice to the games. And he has some real thoughts on their willingness to still be practice squad players. Here is Tom Brady on that.
I learned this, you know, again, over a period of years, but there's 53 guys on the active roster. And there's now 15 guys on the practice squad. So there's 68 players. But those practice squad players are important because if anybody on the active roster gets hurt, they can get elevated to the squad. Well, there was times where these 15 guys would do really well in practice. And they'd be practicing and you'd be like a scout team receiver. And I saw this happen a lot. These scout team receivers would come in and practice with, you know, the scout team. And yeah. They'd do really well. And I'd be watching. I'd be like, man, we got to get that guy. Like, let's get him up on offense. He's making a lot of plays. That's Darrell Revis he's getting open on. Like, we got to do something. Then all of a sudden, we're like, hey, man, you're doing really well. You got to come over here and deal with the pressure of succeeding now that you have expectation. And these guys are like, they weren't prepared for it. So whatever we saw in practice against where there was not a lot of pressure, now when they're put in a situation where there's an expectation for performance, they've never had to personally deal with that. And then they fail. And then what I realized was a lot of guys in those practice squads, they don't want to be elevated to the roster. They're very happy living this life where they could tell their family and friends, which I have no problem with that. Like, there's no problem. Like, you would just assume, though, that if you're on the practice squad, you'd want to be at the top. But the reality is a lot of guys don't want the pressure of dealing with top.
As you might imagine, some guys who were practice squad players and never were consistent guys who were active on game days took issue. Even some guys who eventually made it to a point where they didn't have to deal with the practice squad had a problem with it. Dan Skipper, who is a Detroit Lion offensive lineman, said, this is absolute BS, an absolute BS take on all accounts. Now, it's quote tweeted by someone who gives the salary for a practice squad player. If you're a practice squad player and you're on the roster and you're on the team throughout the season and never play a game, it's $234K. And then, so it's $13,000 a week. You get to play in the same facilities, or at least train in the same facility, same plane, same meals. This is another person editorializing, and Dan Skipper going, shut up. That's stupid. Be quiet. You don't know anything. Lil Jordan Humphrey, haven't met one. Your guy.
Yeah.
Haven't met one person who was okay with just being on the P squad. Jeff Schwartz, longtime offensive lineman, former Oregon Duck, I think. I know this because he's in the bag for Justin Herbert.
I was going to say, he's at the very least an Oregon honk.
Yes.
I don't know if he played for him. I think he did.
I know he was a Giant, but I do believe he played for the Ducks as well. He did. He did play for the Ducks. He disagrees. No serious practice squad player prefers to never play in a game. This is nonsense and unserious. It goes on. More guys. Daniel Woodhead just does the quizzical thing. One of Brady's teammates, I think.
Yeah.
And also, Seth Joyner was a star in the league. Former Eagles linebacker. Longtime guy. He was around when they were eighth round picks. And that's what he was. And so he points out that he knew first-rounders who couldn't deal with the pressure. He says it's more about preparedness. Preparedness is why guys fail, as opposed to not wanting to be great. I would nominate Tom Brady as far as my top five guys who were great players who would be awful coaches. Tom Brady's like at the top. He's at the top of my list. He's one of those guys who would not understand why others weren't as good as he was, because he would talk about all the hard work. His story. Sixth round pick, all the guys picked ahead of him. You know the lore about Tom Brady. He's going to be one of those guys who certainly is going to talk about hard work and what you need to do to get yourself in a spot to be successful. Anyone who falls short of that, I don't think he'd have time for as a coach. I don't know who else, like Jordan's another guy. It's generally the best players in the world who appear to not be such great teammates when things weren't going great. I would throw Jordan there. I would throw Tom Brady there.
Competitive
psychos. It's what you honor when they're playing.
Yeah.
But when they can't show grace to anyone else who, you know, isn't them, because you're one of the unique players to ever play the game, no matter how you got there, Jordan didn't have what was considered the physical limitations that Brady did, at least coming out. But they're all, as you said, competitive psychos, and they love the sport in a way that simply others don't. And you can just say they're built for it in a certain way, others aren't. And they would show you no grace if you didn't think the way they did. I would never want Tom Brady as the head coach of any football team I cared about, because it would he wouldn't be Urban Meyer level toxic, because I don't know I don't know anyone who could be on the NFL level, but he would be a guy who would
a notch or two down.
Yeah, he would all the things that he didn't like about Belichick and how he treated him. Hurt people, Tom.
He doesn't want to grow up to be his father.
Yeah, I learned it from watching you, Bill.
Football father.
I learned it from watching you. As opposed to like Lloyd Carr.
Yeah.
I don't know that Lloyd Carr was great, but I don't know that he wasn't Bill Belichick.
No, definitely wasn't.
As far as how he treated people.
Yeah, I feel like this is something where it's like Tom Brady's idea of like not ready for the pressure or whatever is just like completely skewed. You know, like that it's just he actually can't get in the mind of
people
that like aren't 10 out of 10 competitive psychos, like where even if a guy's just like a 9 out of, like just a normal person about being competitive, a normal NFL player's level of competitiveness, it's like he's just like, this does not compute. What, you're quitting? It's like, no, I just, what?
Yeah, I'm not ruling out that he has seen some players who are more than happy to take their 234K, whatever it comes out to be, if you're on the active, if you're on the roster for 17 games.
There's guys in the NFL that view it as like, this is just a job.
And also one of the guys who I mentioned, some of the players responding to him said, there are guys on the active roster who don't want to be playing.
Yeah.
But they're on the active roster and they're collecting a check. In fact, that was the guy's point. I've seen more guys on the active roster who didn't want to go in games as opposed to the guys who were waiting for their call-up. Like it was just a long line of guys who were in the spot that Tom Brady's talking about saying, nope, that's not true.
I mean, Tom Brady is just calling them all kind of soft.
Yeah.
Or not all. He's calling some percentage of the 15 practice squad guys.
Every year that he dealt with.
Every year that just like, nope.
They didn't want to play.
Can't do it. Can't handle the pressure that it takes.
And we're happy to just tell their friends and family, hey, I'm on an NFL team. Yeah. Never playing.
To be wide receiver 6 for the New England Patriots in 2005. They didn't have the stones.
Yeah, we
to
would be have
Troy Brown.
We would have used a wide receiver. No, we would have called up a DB, but he didn't want it, so we just moved Troy Brown over there.
Yeah,
he didn't want it hard. We didn't want it enough, so Bill had to use Troy Brown at DB. Okay, yeah, great player. So certainly an understatement. You want to be the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders? Cool. Don't let him get a headset and actually coach people.
I don't really even want him to like be. I guess he'd be a good mentor for one. It's like he would be a great like tennis player, a great golf player, a great like individual sport.
Yeah,
like
bringing a group together.
That's where this mindset, the you know Mamba mentality, the Jordan stuff, like where these guys would be great.
Oh, yeah, Kobe's another one. I wouldn't want him coaching an NBA team.
They'd be great individual athletes, and they can just work in the team system. I think I trust Brady more to be the mentor for Mendoza than to actually have to manage all 65 guys on an NFL roster.
Here's some pushback even to that for you. Who's a noted NFL quarterback who looks up to Tom Brady and they have conversations currently?
Oh, is there a guy? I don't know. Oh, well, Shadur, yeah.
At this point, that's the one guy we know who he talks to and is a mentor to.
Yeah.
Look how that's going.
There's other stuff going on there.
Sure. But all I have is the evidence of Tom Brady being that guy's mentor.
Yeah.
And it ain't exactly going well through year one with the Browns.
No, but bad situation. Stefanski wanted to fail.
Yes, Stefanski. Well, Stefanski did fail up. He did go get himself another job. So maybe you're right. He wanted out of Cleveland.
3rd and 15. Amazing conversion to Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
That Jerry Jeudy did.
All the work.
16 of the yards on. But yeah.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Shador had a moment or two.
Yeah. I guess he can't be NFL quarterback Yoda that I want
he's
him
gotta, to. He's, well, Yoda in some ways was a giant failure with the Jedi too.
Yeah,
he allowed Palpatine to run amok and didn't put his foot on that.
Yeah, he's more of the player who couldn't cut it as a player, became a great coach. Coached one of the greats, Luke Skywalker.
Yoda couldn't cut it, is what you're saying? As a player?
He failed as a player.
Is that true?
I have the prequels to watch that tell you. Well, he let it happen right under his nose.
He was old back then. He was a mentor then too.
Oh, you mean back in his prime?
His prime.
He was active. I saw him swinging that lightsaber.
Glad you went with lightsaber when you said he was active. Like he was on. He had that little cane until he had to fight Palpatine or whoever he was fighting.
You can't be swinging the, and then, oh, I'm too old.
That was his bit. Look, I don't move around as well as I did anymore. And then I'm flipping around in the awful prequel. Well, some of the prequel stuff was awful. It wasn't all terrible.
Two of the three were actually just awful.
I like Revenge of the Sith, honestly.
That's the third. Yeah. That, not awful.
Got it. Glad we're on the same wavelength. Speaking of that, as far as IP that could or could not be good, apparently Masters of the Universe is pretty good. I didn't think it would be looking at the trailer. I'm a fan of Cammy Mendez. Who isn't? Any right-thinking person should be. But looking at that thing, trailer-wise, like, if you don't get this the F out of my face right
I'm
now.
I'm still in get this the F out of my face.
But it's hidden. I think discussing films, discussing, not disgusting, discussing films, just to be clear, everyone, gave it a pretty solid review. I saw places where people think it's pretty good. I'm surprised completely by it because, you know, Idris Elba's not promoting this movie. I ain't seen that dude anywhere.
It's insane that he's in this movie.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it because he's not talking about it. Hmm. But I have seen people think Masters of the Universe, the He-Man movie, for people who don't know, it's pretty good. We will see. I think I might have to test this thing out because it's not something I had any interest in going to see. But now, let's see if I was way wrong or the people who are informing me that it's pretty good are just idiots. I guess I'll find out.
Paid accounts.
check the PayPal.
Yeah. Did that say paid promotion at the bottom of
it? No, it's just random tweets or just an actual news outlet saying it's pretty good. Pretty good. Rotten Tomatoes, 74% right now. That's better than I thought it could hit. Now it's early. We'll see as more reviews roll in if that changes. But I never thought it'd be that high. Still, where the hell is Idris Elba? Like, I didn't even know Alison Brie was in this movie until she took a promotional photo with someone at a premiere. I was like, she's in this? Jared Leto's in? Oh, he's Skeletor. Yeah, keep his face out of it. Just allow him to be Skeletor. That's fine. If I see Idris Elba like roll out because he sees the reviews are pretty good, then I know. We may have some here. But until I see that, I'm still a little skeptical. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go. But before we go to break, I want to tell you about something you should not be skeptical over. A chance to get yourself tickets to the FIFA World Cup here in Houston. All you got to do is be kind of a social butterfly and want to compete. We're just talking about some of the ultimate competitors. You should be that too, and you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game brought to you by Michelob Ultra. All you got to do is show up to one of these locations, whether it be on Thursday at Rock Newtony Sports Bar in Clear Lake or Tri-City Beer Garden in Pasadena. The Rock Newtony Sports Bar, you'd be there from 7 to 10. Tri-City Beer Garden in Pasadena, be there from 8 to 11 on Thursday. Compete in the interactive soccer shootout, and if you win, you get a pair of tickets. Also on Friday, we have Social Beer Garden in Midtown. That's from 9 p.m. to midnight. And then on Saturday, from 5 to 8, J Bar M in Edo, another chance to win. Show up there, compete, win, and you get a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Play for your chance to witness history because superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
We got a couple of things to get to on the college sports front before we go. This is a question for Sean's loyalty to his university. How deep does your love for your university go sports-wise? Will you watch an inning of Tech versus Texas? Will you wait till... Oh, I've got a nod.
Yeah, yeah. So for college baseball and softball, catch me in the Super Regionals.
Got
That's
it.
My take.
Well, this is the This is the final series yeah. for Tech.
Rematch of last year.
In Texas, Tech had a winding road, had some controversy in the Gainesville Regional, had to overcome Alabama twice yesterday, had a walk-off by Mia Williams. That is the daughter of Jason Williams, the former Florida Gator and Miami Heat and Sacramento King, Memphis Grizzly. He played in a lot of places. NBA champion. And then they won yesterday late 2-0 to beat Alabama to secure their spot in the title series against the Longhorns. I was going to ask, maybe you would wait and go, hey, are they about to win game two and it's in the final half inning? Then I'll tune in. But you are going to watch beforehand. Okay.
I'll tune in. Especially, I mean, on NBA Finals off days.
Of course.
Asterisks over all of this.
Yes. And then, Texas, the baseball team, is one of seven SEC teams to make the Super Regional. One team who didn't.
Just means more.
The Aggies, who had two shots to beat USC, got demolished in both games. They go home. Well, they stay home. They lost on their home field, so they can just go back to their dorms or apartments. Not a long trip. But they're done for the season. Another SEC team who had the same scenario in front of them was the Florida Gators, who had to, all they had to do was beat Troy once at home to secure their spot in the Super Regional, where they would have faced, was it Cal Poly? Or I forgot.
UC Santa Barbara? I know they're in it. That's
no, it was one of the teams that you wouldn't associate with being a good college baseball program, at least not on its face. They had a shot to have a very favorable road to the World Series. They didn't get it done. Troy beats them twice and beats them down a couple times. So you had some upsets. The SEC could have had eight teams in the Super Regional or more, because Kentucky lost to West Virginia. West Virginia did that at home, and then
the viral
video of Country Roads being sung as all the people celebrated West Virginia making it to a Super Regional. So we had the college baseball, college softball stuff going.
Yeah. I think it is exciting. It is just like put stakes on anything and like, okay, that's, you know, especially when it's like double elimination, so you can really lock it in. There is a little bit of, I don't really know the difference between regionals and super regionals, other than
there are just more teams.
Half the teams get eliminated.
Yeah, and your pitching gets tested.
Yeah.
Particularly if you lose the first game.
That's why I'm super regionals or bust, because it's like, I know it's super regionals.
You're playing one team, you got to win two.
Yes, I know what I have to do to get it to Omaha.
So it is going to be Little Rock versus Troy, as opposed to the Gators versus Little Rock. So Little Rock versus Troy.
Cinderella.
A couple of teams you wouldn't think of when it comes to potentially making the College World Series. Very much alive to do that. And the other thing, this isn't about games being played in the next couple of days. It is about games being played in January and December and the gaps in between. The schedule for the CFP is out, and people are asking for a more condensed schedule. You got an expanded schedule as far as gaps between games.
Yeah, hold on to that.
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? We're gonna push back even further than you'd like.
You got the Larry O'Brien on the finals floor. You're not getting this one, buddy.
Yeah. So ESPN, much like they did last time around, will have a game on, I guess that's Friday night, December 18th, and then you'll have a game the following day at noon. Either way, remember last year it was Alabama, Oklahoma.
Yeah,
late night, and then Miami A&M in that following game.
Those, also a good game.
Those both were on ESPN ABC, and just like last year, the next two games, no matter who's in them, are going to be TNT, True TV, HBO Max games, and then you're going to have a gap of at least 12 days until the Fiesta Bowl, and then they're not going to play on December 31st. They're going to play on January 1st for the other three.
I'm guessing that's because it's a Sunday.
Yeah, avoiding the NFL. Yeah. Oh, scared asses. Avoided the NFL.
No, no.
It's not?
It's a Thursday.
So they don't
want to. There's probably an NFL game.
Yeah, there's likely a NFL game. And then the semifinals, one is January 14th. So about 2 weeks or more, depending on who's in it. And then January 15th. So we're talking about. And then the title game is
it's on the 25th.
So they're like, you thought it'd be better for the sport to make it a shorter season as far as the calendar is concerned. We think it's better for the sport to make it as long as humanly possible as far as the calendar is concerned. So the championship game in Vegas will be January 25th.
All right. Sure.
And we got about 2 weeks between all the games as far as one weekend or one window of games to the next. So there it is.
It's going to be brutal.
A lot of weight. It's going to be brutal. A lot of conversations. A lot of podcasts being done.
Yeah. An entire week between the semifinals and finals. Like, just one entire full work week. Because it's basically, a Friday to the next Monday after that.
Yeah. Well, man, we're talking about, if you were a team who played in the January 14th semifinal, you got like 11 days.
Yeah.
And then 10 if you play in the...
I might forget who's in the final by then.
If your team's not in it, you might stop caring about who's in it.
I will say the quarterfinals, just spiritually, will feel like... if you're like, hey, we made the quarterfinals, don't care. Because it took a month until we found a champion. I'm going to forget who lost the quarterfinal games so fast.
Yes, the quarterfinals, if you get the bye, that's cool. You get in the quarterfinals. But honestly,
as long as you score a point.
But you didn't make the playoffs at all.
Scored just as many points.
It's true. But you didn't have the opportunity to get embarrassed by Oregon.
We'll settle in on the softball diamond, all right?
I need Sark and McGuire to show up.
I think, I mean.
Sark, they might show up, not for the rivalry of Texas being on the other side, but, support.
Sark was at the Elite Eight game.
Yeah, support one of your fellow coaches in their pursuit of a title. I would not be surprised if at least some Texas and Tech coaches from other sports are there. I don't know if McGuire and Sark will be there.
They should bring the twos and threes.
And play softball?
Yeah. Have Diabelle out there.
That would be fun. I just need both to have a microphone in their face and see if they say something again.
Just Holly Rowe playing the... Like a wrestling...
Yeah, she goes back and forth. Yeah, like, she talks to Sark.
Like they're backstage at SmackDown.
She talks to Sark top half of the third. She gets to Joey McGuire bottom half of the third and see what she can create. Any content. Get at it. All right, we're done for the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow, but since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
He was back. Disappointing story about his time with the old 97s. John was pushing him. Little disrespectfully, honestly. But it is John, so you should come to expect it. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.